So what is the largest sukkah you've ever sat in? Okay. I think it's Windmere's is pretty big. I guess Garden Hills is pretty big. No? Anyone want to throw it out? We do this interactive. Sorry. Meir Sha'arim had told us Aaron's sukkah. Yeah, that's a pretty big one. How big? How? What are you talking about? 100 feet by 100 feet? 300 feet by 300 feet? Huh? What do you say? You're too busy getting knocked, elbowed by the tallest Aaron Chassidim, maybe, but... Okay, so the largest sukkah, at least according to the Ynet News from a 2012 article, was 5,680 square feet. I know you could do the math on what that comes out to. Someone here who's not a lawyer will hopefully come out with some math figures for that. It could apparently hold 1,000 people. So that's about like Toldos Aaron's. I would imagine there's about 1,000 people in Toldos Aaron's or one of those Meir Sha'arim huge sukkahs. I once spent a sukkah in my first year in Rav Ilson's on the roof of the OU Center, which was all a sukkah. That was also a pretty big sukkah. That could house probably a couple hundred people on top of that roof. But other than that, you know, probably the biggest sukkah you've probably seen is something about that, which could have 1,000 people in the sukkah. Is that a kosher sukkah or not? In other words, is there any maximum or minimum, or we'll see, to the sizes or dimensions of a sukkah? Height, how big it has to be from the floor, what about, you know, the materials that you're going to use. So the first blot of Maseches Sukkah spends a lot of time detailing, well, what are the dimensions of a sukkah? You look at the first Mishnah, it says, and you don't have to look inside if you don't want, I'll paraphrase for you, but in Daf Beis Amud Aleph, it says, Sukkah she gavoa l'mala me'esr ma'ama is possible. So according to the Tanakhama's opinion, a sukkah which is above 20 amas, which is about 30 or so feet, give or take, probably a little bit more, maybe 35, 40 feet of sukkah, if the schach is taller than that amount, it's possible. Rabbi Yehuda says it's kosher, but for the most part, we paskin like the Tanakhama, which would tell you that a sukkah can't be bigger, taller, be precise in our language, but it can't be taller than 30 plus feet, 40 feet. The Gemara gives three reasons for this, and you'll see when you do the Gemara. One reason is because the pasuk says, "Laman yedu doroseichem, kibesukos shavti espinei Yisrael," that until 20 amos, a person knows that he's sitting in a sukkah. Otherwise, if it's 100 feet tall sukkah, you're not going to realize you're in a sukkah, and therefore it would be puzzle. That's reason number one. Reason number two, says the Gemara, is because of a pasuk which is in Yeshaya, which says that Mesukah tia v'tzel yoma mechorev ad esrim ama, that adam sits yoshe b'tzel sukkah v'ma'a me'esrim ama ain adam yoshe b'tzel sukkah el b'tzel defanus. If it's going to be too high, you're going to be sitting in the shade of the walls as opposed to the shade of the schach. Reason number two. Reason number three, says the Gemara, is because the third opinion here is Rava says, it says besukos teshvu shivas yamim. Amrit Torah, the Torah says, Kol Shivas Yomim, all 7 days, say midiras keva, v'shev midiras arai. You're supposed to sit in a temporary structure. Something which is above 20 amas is by definition permanent. Something which is under 20 amas, because the Gemara says, hey, you can make it with iron walls, and it could be under 20 amas. The Gemara says, no, under 20 amas is by definition something which is temporary. Anything above 20 amas is by definition permanent, regardless of the material that's used. So now we have a limit on the top. Says the Gemara, well, what about the width? So first Mishnah doesn't say anything. It just says, okay, it also has to be above Gvoa Asar Tvachim. Okay, so we know the minimum height is it has to be 10 Tvachim, which is about 3 feet. You got to be really, really small and get down on your knees to make a sukkah which is under 10 tefachim. For the most part, all our sukkahs are over 10 tefachim, not a big issue. But what about the width? Meaning, how wide can a sukkah be? So you have no discussion about that in the Mishnah itself. For that, you have to turn to Gimel Amud Aleph, and the Gemara gives a little bit of a discussion about this, and you'll see the Gemara goes back and forth with Beis Shammai and Beis Silo. But the simple line is, if you look like 10 lines from the top, it says, Amar Reb Shmuel, Bar Yitzchak Halacha, it's Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, Tzricha Shtei Machzekes, Rosho Berubo V'Shulchano. And again, Halacha here most often means Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. The Gemara discusses whether this is Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim as well, but simply put, the Gemara says it needs to be able to hold the minimum size of a sukkah to hold your head, your body, and your table. Gemara clarifies that means about 7 tvachim by 7 tvachim, which is about 2 feet by 2 feet, give or take. So we're talking about the minimum sukkah could be 10 tvachim high, 2 by 2 feet, very simple. Where does it say anything about how big the sukkah could be, how wide it could be? Is there a maximum shear? No, anyone ever done do this Gemara? Find me a Gemara. Show me anywhere where it says in Maseches Sukkah, any line, any statement in the Gemara about a maximum width that a sukkah could be.
Kol Ezra.
Oh, so Kol Ezra we're going to get to in a minute. But that's not clear, because it's not really talking about, it's not talking, Gemara there doesn't say, does the Gemara over there preface it by saying a sukkah can't be more than X wide? Not at all.
No.
Not at all. There is no source in the Gemara. So you look at the Rambam. What does the Rambam say about this? So the Rambam, in the beginning of Sukkah, now it could be in this booklet, are there pages on the bottom? Oh, so they don't have actual pages on it, so you have to flip a little bit. If you flip, it's like 20, 15 pages into this booklet, where it looks like the Rambam, it looks like this. Okay, Sukkah. It says the Rambam, and the top left it says 267, but it's obviously not the 267th page of this booklet. It says, I'll just read it to you. If you find it, you find the others, I'll read it slowly. Shira sukkah kavoa ein pachas masrim tvachim. It can't be less than 10 tvachim. Velo yoser al eser mama can't be more than 20 amas. Urachava and the width ein pachas mishiva tvachim al shiva tvachim. So far, everything is good. Everything is good in the world of Judaism. Then the Rambam says, v'yesh lo lahosif barchava. You could add as much as you want in the width. I feel kama milin, even multiple kilometers. Which means that basically, the Rambam just says that your sukkah could be miles long in terms of the width, and it's totally fine. Now, what exactly is the source of this Rambam? Look on the page, find me something. Not a word. All of them, mefarshim here, give commentary on height, the minimum width. Nothing at all about this line of the Rambam, and it could be as wide as you want. You look at the Torah, flip a couple more pages, and you look at the Torah. What does the Torah say? The Torah writes, it's now on Tav Resh Lamed Dalid Aleph. You look at the Torah, it's on now, it says Tav Kuf Chaf. Here, I'll show you, it says this page over here, the one that looks like the Torah inside here. I'll just read you the one line. If you find it, you find it. It says, "V'lo ketana mishiura v'kama shiura shiva tvachim al shiva." It has to be the minimum width is 7 by 7. U'inyan godel. So how wide could it be? Ein la shir. There's no shir. So make it as wide, as big as you want. You know, 4 blocks of Meisharim would be fine as well. However you want, it's totally all okay. What's the source of this? Not a Gemara has been cited at all, nor have we seen anything. So you look at the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef is the commentator on that same page. And he says, he writes over there, Uma Shekasav. It's on the left side of that page. U'inyan godel ein lashir. And again, the Beis Yosef is the one who wrote the Shulchan Aruch as well, but he made comments on the Torah first. And so his comments on the Torah, before we see what he writes in the Shulchan Aruch, he says, Kein kasav Rambam. He blames the Rambam. Now, where did the Rambam get it from? We have no idea. So Torah blames, Beis Yosef says, oh, the Torah got it from the Rambam. Where did the Rambam get it? U'pashutu. The great answer of every parent to their child when they ask them a question. Yeah, that you don't know the answer? Yeah, it's obvious. It's obvious. It's obvious. Yeah, of course. That's the answer. Oh, pashut, it's pashut. Dim lo kein. Why? Hayulem lechachamu mefarish kamo shapir shuba begova. If there was really a maximum width that it could be, the rabbis would have said so. So the fact that they don't say so tells me that there is no maximum width. Fine. That is the Beis Yosef. Now the Bach, if you look at the right side of the page of the Torah, he comments a little bit differently. He says, well, one second. He says, well, the Rambam definitely says that it could be as big as you want. But what's the Chiddush? Why would I have thought that you can't? No, so someone tell me, why would I have thought that you can't have it as wide as you want?
Because you don't, if the reason is seeing it, I mean, you might think, okay, you got to see three walls or something.
Oh, hold that thought. That's a brilliant idea. We're going to see that in a minute. We're going to see that in a minute. But from the Bach says, I've got a more fundamental problem. What was reason number three why it can't be so tall? Is because we said it needs to be a temporary structure. You know what is not a temporary structure? Something which is 10 blocks long and you know, wide as anything, that should be something which, by definition, is a permanent structure. Because who builds temporary structures that are 10 blocks long? Says the Bach, therefore, the Torah is coming to tell me, no, it's still considered temporary, no matter how big you build it. But again, no real source for this halacha, other than the fact that there is no source that tells you otherwise. Fine. That's the Rambam, that's the Torah. You flip open a Shulchan Aruch, a couple of pages, you don't have any change in this ruling. If you turn to Tof Reish Lamed Dalet Aleph a few pages later, now it says Kuf Tzadi Ches on the top right of the page. It says, Sukkosh Ein Bashival Shiva's Puzzle. O Inyan Godel, how wide could it be? Ein La Shir Lamal. It could go as big as you want, as wide as you want, not a problem at all. Fine. So now I ask you a question. Is there any dissenting opinion? No? You think everyone agrees? You have a Rambam, you have a Torah, you have a Shulchan Aruch, which all say it could be as wide as you want. Is there any counter argument to this, and why? Should a sukkah have to have limitations? We have a limitation on the height. We have a limitation on other aspects of a sukkah. All of a sudden, it could be as wide. You could have a sukkah which is as large as, I don't know, the United States. You could put a sukkah around the hole, and it's fine. Is that kosher or not? So what about by an Eruv? Can you have an Eruv that's that big? Let's assume, okay, you can tell me 600,000 people going through it. I don't know. Let's say you make an Eruv the size of Wyoming. There's not even 600,000 people in all of Wyoming. So you decide you have a new Pesach program or whatever it is. You're going to go to Wyoming. You build an Eruv. Of course, you need an Eruv for your Pesach program. So what do? The whole Pesach program is all of Wyoming. So what you do is you take an Eruv and you build walls around the entire state of Wyoming. How you do that? Okay, you get a citation. They tell you have to take it down in 2 weeks. You take it down in 2 weeks. So you build, for a sukkah spray, I shouldn't say Pesach program, because then it's not going to work. But let's talk about Eruv for a second. So you build your Eruv around the entire state of Wyoming. You can't see the Eruv at all. It's literally around the entire state. Kosher for Eruv on Shabbos or not kosher for an Eruv? You could carry within there or not? Yes, no. Is it surrounded by four walls? Absolutely. So this actually is a dispute amongst Tosfos and the Ritva. There is a question. The Gemara in Erevin, a very intricate Gemara, talks about if Yerushalayim is considered surrounded on all sides. Is Yerushalayim considered a walled city for purposes of Erevin? The Gemara goes back and forth with numerous discussions about this. And then the Gemara says, well, if you're going to say Yerushalayim is considered walled, then you might as well make Bavel considered walled. And in fact, the whole world should be considered one big Erev. Why? Because there's water surrounding all the continents. And so therefore, water is considered a mechitza. It's considered a wall. So says the Gemara, I've got a great idea. What do you need? Everyone should just be allowed to carry everyone. Even in Brooklyn, you could carry. And then there won't be a problem because the whole world is surrounded by water. And everything should be great, the Gemara says. So the Gemara says, obviously, it's not the case. So what's the problem with making the whole world be considered having mechitzas around the side? It's a good point by the Gemara. The whole world is, I think, you know, again, it's my wife is more of a science person than I, but, you know, I think scientifically, am I correct? Is the whole world surrounded, are all the land masses surrounded by water? Yes? Yeah, for the most part, yeah. So if that's the case, then Why do you ever need any Eruv? The water should serve as a mechitza, which is a halacha that it does. A body of water serves as one of the walls. So if it's surrounding the entire landmass, so you have all mechitzas. So two answers are given why this is not the case. Number one, says Tosus, is that water wasn't man-made. It's not created by man. And something so big needs to be a man-made mechitza. Okay, fine. Ritva says, you know what the problem is? You can't see all four mechitzas, or they're not visible from standing in the middle. According to that Ritva, there is a halacha, therefore, that for Erev, in order to have mechitzas on the side, you have to, in theory, be able to see all the sides of your mechitzos in order to make them be mechitzas, to be walls for the laws of Erevin. Says Rav Zilberstein, the same thing should be the case for sukkah, according to this Ritva. So that's a good question. I was afraid you were going to ask me that question. I don't know the answer offhand. My gut is not, because we have Erevin that are, but it may be that it may be that you could be able to see it if you cleared it flat out, right, and you would be able to see. I don't know that. I don't know offhand. I have to check it up. I have my homework to do. It's a good question.
A lot of times are just poles with strings.
Correct, right. So anyway, we have Tzuras HaPesach anyway, so it may just be in terms of mechitzas. I don't know the answer offhand. I don't. There's a Ber Halacha that discusses it. I have to go back and look at that Ber Halacha. I did not look at that again. My bad. But yes. But by Sukkah says absorption, at least according to that Ritva, if you want to be Choshesh for it by Erevin, I'm sure there are some who are Choshesh for it. So by Sukkah for sure, you should need to have a sukkah which you can see all four sides. Okay, so told this iron sukkah, you could probably see all four walls from the middle, but there would be a limitation. According to the Rambam, of kama milin, miles and miles, it wouldn't be no good. So says the Rav Zilberstein, based on this Ritva, strike number one against having a humongous miles long sukkah. Strike number two, it was an excellent point that you made before, is that there is a Gemara in Sukkah on Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, which says that all you don't need, the Gemara is discussing, and you know, it's not in your booklet, so I'm sorry, but I'll paraphrase to you the one line. It says, I'll read to you that one line if you want. It says, the Gemara here is having a discussion about, do you have to own your Sukkah? It's much easier not to own your sukkah. You just go to your parents or in-laws' house. But you know, I guess when you get to be my age, you're stuck having to make your own sukkah. But the issue is that Gemara says, do you have to own your sukkah? Does it have to be like lachem? Do you have to be yours? So Gemara proves, no, you don't have to own your own sukkah, because of this pasuk. It says Kol Ezrach B'Yisrael, and that all the Jewish people sat in the same sukkah. Now, what does that mean? All the Jewish people sat in the same Chav Zayin Amud Beis, rather. Sorry, that all the Jews sat in the same sukkah. So, Kol Ezrach B'Yisrael Yeshvu B'Sukkos Melamed Shekol Yisrael Ru'uyim Leishe B'Sukkah Achas. That all Yisrael is able to sit in one sukkah. Now, the Gemara over here is not talking about our issue. That's to your point over there. It's not talking about the size of a sukkah. The Gemara here is talking about ownership of a sukkah. And it says, the fact that everyone could sit in one sukkah must mean you don't have to own your sukkah. Because even if we all owned a little bit pruta of the sukkah together, we still wouldn't all have enough ownership. Millions of people in one big sukkah, you wouldn't have a tefach of ownership for yourself. So therefore, you see, you don't have to own your sukkah. Says the Vilna Gaon, you know what else you see over here by the sukkah? All the Jews in one sukkah, how big is that sukkah? You see from here, says the Vilna Gaon, that the sukkah can be as big as you want. So here you have the source, actually, for our halacha. The problem is, I'll read you a Rashi. Rashi says, what does it mean that all the Jews sit in one sukkah? Sukkah achas v'chol Yisrael sheyeshvu ba ze achar ze. What does that mean? They sit in it one after the other. So no, all the Jews are not sitting in one sukkah. It's not this huge sukkah. They're just all getting online, and I'm sure there's no pushing. Everyone's sitting, lining up quite nicely, and you're all starved in the night of Sukkot, and I'm sure they all wait patiently for the hundred thousands of people to go go ahead of you. But okay, that's the case of the Gemara. So therefore, according to Rashi, says Rav Zilberstein, strike number two on this Gemara. This is not a source that you could have a humongous sukkah. On the contrary, it sounds like the Gemara is going out of its way. Rashi is going out of his way to say, no, the sukkah is not this humongous sukkah that everyone could sit in, because that would be puzzle. You need to have a sukkah which... But the case of the Gemara is where one person is going in after another person, because such a huge sukkah would be problematic. There is a limit to the sukkah. Fine. So to close it out, the final word is... Okay, so now we have to be careful what we say, especially when we're on tape, but you could make an argument. Some people would make an argument. I could make a counter-argument to this, and I'm happy to discuss that with anyone off the tape. At a bigger house... A bigger sukkah, a bigger thing, is better. I would disagree with that. You know, having someone who stayed in Queens for a reason. You know, this is I'm very proud of that fact that you know the house is here. We don't have so much land, but you could make an argument that it's hiddur mitzvah, that the bigger the sukkah that I have is actually a milah. So maybe if you could afford to have a 5-block sukkah, or you've got a huge lawn, maybe you should build a bigger sukkah. Is there any issue? And maybe that's really what's motivating Shulchan Aruch to say, yeah, you can have as big a sukkah as you want because it's a vart in hiddur mitzvah. So I saw an interesting, there's a sefer, a great sefer, Simchas Yisrael, by Rav Dardik, who has an olav mo'adim. I stole this from my parents' house, one of the many svarim I've stolen from my father. But this Sefer is outstanding, and he writes in Perek Dalet, he has an interesting footnote, which you wouldn't have realized, is our issue. He says, Mitzvah lahadir v'laso sukkah gedola. There's a big inyan to have a big sukkah. She'mako m'chol b'nei beiso l'sheves berevach v'lo b'tzimtzum. You should be able to be comfortable because teshru ke'en teduru. You have a comfortable house, you most likely don't have a one-room house, even if you're in an apartment. Likely more than one room, right? So you want to be comfortable. Now, comfort obviously is in the eyes of the holder. It's all relative. But the idea is that you should, there is an inyan to have a bigger sukkah. However, V'tochen, he says, Sha'af b'leit tzorichanal. Even if you have only 7 people in your family and you have 7 rooms in your sukkah, or it's 70 feet, so you're definitely comfortable. Yesh hider lasos sukkah gedola. And he cites, for this, Chaim Kosovi Moreno Rav Hagon Reb Chaim Kanievsky Shvito, now is unfortunately Zatzal. But he says Reb Chaim Kanievsky said to him, the bigger the sukkah, the better. It's an issue of hiddur mitzvah. However, then he says, V'yeshomrim, some say, She'ein adifus laso sukkah gedola, that no, there is no issue of hiddur mitzvah. That's what Rebbe Yashav cites. He says, no, that does not make any sense, because the bigger the sukkah is, it's not the bigger the sukkah is, the better you could fulfill the mitzvah. We only say something is bigger is better if there's a better, easy way to fulfill the mitzvah. You have the same question, and we'll give you something to think about, is what about a bigger lulav? You know, you spend so much time, picking out a lulav and esrog. Is there an inyan to get a really tall lulav? Why? It's bigger. Yeah, but the bigger it is, can you do more of a mitzvah? Maybe you could shake it a little bit better, but I don't know that that's more of the actual performance of the mitzvah. Is bigger better only when it has to do with the performance of the mitzvah, or is bigger better just the very size, so is a certain amount of appreciation and a certain amount of richness that your expenditure that you're putting into the mitzvah? I would tell you, just a good way to close, I think, as a final, maybe homiletically or derech musar, that the only thing where it's definitely hiddur mitzvah to have the more you have is limud HaTorah. Is that the more limud HaTorah you have, is a greater hiddur mitzvah. And what better way to get into the spirit of Yom Noraim is to really take stock. Look, and this I could speak for someone who was also, involved in the working world as well as trying to learn as well. It's hard. It takes a lot of focus. It takes a lot of, time management. It takes good support from your family members as well, wife and children, to support the learning. But now's the time. Look, it's Elul's here. It's a new year. It's new. Kids are going to school. Everyone's starting fresh. Now's the time to take stock. And look, if it's an hour a night, to give up a little bit of time to really to plug it. Look, there's There's no principal over you anymore, most likely, right? There's no Rebbe, you're out of Israel. It's all you're all on your own. And that sometimes is a very daunting task. The lesson is that to remember the concept of Hidr Mitzvah. We're going to put so much money and time into building a beautiful sukkah, getting a good woven esther, getting ready for the Yom HaDin. One thing we shouldn't forsake is an additional aspect of Limud HaTorah. Shkoyach.